Coming up this week on the Braves Beach House podcast, we're recapping the crazy week that was here at Cool Today Park. We got some exclusive interviews from our baseball stories series in the LeeCom Legends Club, and we'll talk to some of our bands from our Extra Innings concert series. All that and more ahead on the Braves Beach House podcast.
All right, Harrison, we're back here at the Braves Beach House podcast. A lot to catch up on. It's been a heck of a couple weeks here at Cool Today Park.
It sure has. And let's pick up right where we left off. We had our first night game of the season as the Fish from the other coast made their way here to Cool Today Park.
That's right. Under the lights, that was a great one. The first time the Miami Marlins had ever been to Cool Today Park. And I think we tied.
Yeah, only in spring training does that happen.
No extra innings.
Yes, exactly. It was a little cold that night, but it was a great crowd, and we had a blast for our first night game of the season.
It was a lot of fun, followed by a rain delay on Monday for the Tampa Bay game.
Yeah, not every day do we have a rain delay here, although it's the Sunshine State, sometimes some rain, but hey, we're pretty lucky. It was only 30 minutes, more or less.
And that tarp looks pretty good on the field, too, doesn't it, when it gets in place?
Completely disagree, but a lot of hard work goes into it, and we want to give a huge shout-out to our grounds crew.
Unbelievable crew there.
Getting that game in, because that behind home plate on the warning track was completely soaked, but a lot of hard work went into it, and we were able to get that game
in. Good drainage system out here.
We also had some fun on the Detroit Tigers game on the 11th. We had our 400,000 fan through the gates here at Cool Today Park.
And then we had another new team come in, the Washington Nationals.
Yes, division opponent, so it was always good to see our friends from the NL East here, and I mean, again, great crowd.
It was.
A lot of natitude in the park that day.
And then, of course, we had another night game with the Twins the following Saturday.
Yeah, oh, hold on. We forgot to mention, part of the Nationals game, we had a very special return of our good friend Slicer for Pi Day.
Slicer is a menace. We love Slicer. That's right. 3.14, 314. He had a return for Pi Day.
Yeah.
And then Slicer also got pied in the face by your friend Palmer.
Yeah, Palmer really met Slicer for the first time and really gave him quite a warm welcome with pie going everywhere in that first row of the stands.
A full can of whipped cream all over our guest on the front row behind the first base dugout.
Yeah, I mean, people always ask if they can get free food. They got a nice helping of whipped cream for that first row.
They did. We gave them that SeaWorld experience.
Yes.
The splash row.
The splash zone. And so then, yes, we had Pi Day, and then Saturday, like you said, night game with the Twins. Mm-hmm. We had a lot of friends from Atlanta down here. Blooper was back for Saturday.
Always great to have Blooper in the building.
Absolutely. And then this was probably my favorite game of the year. It was our spring breakout game, so we got to see our top prospects, and that was really cool to see them face off against the Tigers prospects.
That was neat to see. Certainly some young studs on both rosters there. Detroit has a lot of great prospects, and they brought it. And we looked good as well. There's a lot of hope for Atlanta Braves' future, I think.
Yeah, the future is bright. It was cool to see a lot of our FCL guys who played for that championship 2 years ago out on the field and being under the lights with a large crowd. But we had a lot of other fun things going on besides just the action on the field.
That mascot party was a party. Six different mascots from Braves country were all here.
Yeah.
The field suite was rocking, a buffet. Palmer threw popcorn everywhere, was making popcorn snow angels in the field suite.
Yeah, it was crazy.
Thanks to our amazing janitorial staff that puts up with Palmer's antics. A big shout out to them.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that popcorn went everywhere. There's even some hockey going on with Swampy with a beach ball and a broom through the popcorn ice. I mean, they made a mess of the field suite, but it was a blast.
And the fans and kids got turns with each mascot, hanging out, pictures, autograph. Blooper was doing his thing, sharpieing people's faces after he signs.
Yeah, your shoes even got signed by Blooper.
I did. I'm not wearing them today, but I got a Blooper signature on my Nikes. That was pretty cool. And, of course, he had to Sharpie my face. And but, you know, that's some Blooper love. That's how he shows his endearment.
Yes. Blooper is amazing. We love Blooper. We had Chopper from Gwinnett was a crowd favorite. Julius the Penguin from Rome.
Yep.
I mean, all sorts of good friends from Braves country. I mean, Blooper was naked on the field.
We had to remove him from the field for trying to sunbathe on the right field foul line.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. You never know what Blooper's going to do.
They did Leapfrog. They did a mascot Congo line.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was very fun.
So I think we should have more mascot parties, more mascots all the time.
Yeah.
And I see you've got your Palmer shirt on today. Palmer's still selling merchandise. That's right. Limited supply, limited time only. At the beginning of the game, you can find it behind the mural, behind home plate. Get you some Palmer merch. It looks good.
It pops up. And speaking of antics in right field, on Saturday night, we had one of our security guards in Blooper kind of had a little dance battle. That was really cool to see. He's a security guard. They do a lot of good work keeping our field safe and secure and make sure we don't have any streakers. I mean, other than Blooper. We've been pretty lucky with that.
No, we've got a great security team here. And, you know, then we both had holidays. You had a birthday. I had St. Patrick's Day. And I think they both went fantastic.
Yeah, they did. My birthday, I was trying to keep a secret. I like to keep the attention on our players and on our mascots. It was a fun day. But they got me, the whole stadium sung happy birthday.
We did. We got you good.
It did. And then, like you said, we had your day, your holiday, St. Patrick's Day on Monday.
That's right.
Whole stadium in green. They even dyed the field green. Can you believe that?
It was really unbelievable. There was a lot of green out there. Of course, those Boston fans are going to wear a little bit of green, but those Braves fans wore the green too. And the big highlight was turning the lemonade stand into put a little tea in your lemonade and make it a Palmer, or put a little Tito's vodka in there and make it a Patrick.
Absolutely. I was kind of disappointed there was no lemonade for St. Patrick's Day, but I mean, it's still always a good...
We had green popcorn, though, at Pop Dogs.
Green popcorn, the pot of golden tater tots at the barbecue stand.
That's right. Those golden tater tots making a comeback. They're good.
Palmer even spread some Lucky Charms for some good luck in the crowd. I mean, it was all-around blast.
And some of the stuff that happened on the field, Spencer Strider made his return.
That first inning
was 8 pitches for 3 outs. We had to go up to Smokehouse Barbecue to do our What's Cooking segment, and we had barely made it up the stairs, but by the time the top half of the first inning was over, 8 pitches, you're out of here.
Yeah, it was great to see Spencer back on the mound, and you know, the future is looking good for this season for
really
Braves.
Is Chris Sale's going to get the opening day start, but with Spencer healthy, those two in the rotation, it's going to be a heck of a season, I hope.
Now my question is, in Braves country, let us know. Last time we had Spencer in the mound, we had mustache day. He now has a full beard. So is it still mustache day? Is it beard day? What is it? I need clarification on what we're calling it.
Well, as long as he keeps going 5 strikeouts in a row, he can have any type of facial hair he
Absolutely.
Wants in Braves country. We're okay with that. So it's great to have number 99 back in the rotation, Spencer. The skillet cookie update, Harrison. Have you tried the skillet cookies yet this year?
You know, I have not had a skillet cookie in a while. You know, I tend to leave that to you, going up to the smokehouse. That's your thing. I've been good with staying away from the skillet cookie.
Well, I got to give our concessions crew a shout out. Every one of our stands, the food is delicious. The sauces they're including this year at Salsa Supreme, we got a Boom Boom sauce. We got a Chipotle style ranch that goes with the Southwest Florida egg rolls. Some incredible food going out the ballpark this year.
Some of the best for sure. Now, another fun thing that we've had over the past few games here was our extra innings concert series.
Yep.
We had one on Saturday with the Pittsburgh game on the 8th with Five and Dime Boys, and we had one on St. Patrick's Day as well.
That was fun having the Dukes of Brinkley guys in the Tiki Bar right after the game. That made a lot of sense. You have the Tiki Bar and the Surfside stand right there for everybody's libations. And they're a rocking band. They play a lot of that great old-timey rock and roll.
Yeah, it was a great time at the post-game concert for St. Patrick's Day. We got one more post-game concert coming up for our next game on the 20th against the Phillies. The Tams will be at the Tiki Bar.
Oh, very cool. Always love a great concert. Always love the fact that we're including full entertainment inside the stadium, outside the stadium. And really, one of our most infamous days is coming up. You know, Harrison, you've got about... There's a comma in there on the amount of beach balls you have ready for our final game of the season.
Yeah. We've already started inflating them, and we're running out of space with how many beach balls we have inflated to dump on the crowd to celebrate our final spring training game and have a ball on our last time here.
We're going to reset the Wendell's world record for most beach ball drops. That's going to be a heck of a way to finish the spring training season off at Cool Today Park. Before the team goes to the Cactus League for the first time ever.
First time ever the Atlanta Braves are playing in the Cactus League. Asterisk, we have not fully confirmed that fact, but we're going to go with it. First time the Braves are going to Arizona in the desert. The Cactus is. So, I mean, I'm not really sure where that falls in the Grapefruit League standing. Does that count towards a spring training record? Is it just a scrimmage? I don't really know. We'll have to ask the experts for that.
And it's two games with the Chicago Cubs out there, correct?
Yeah, with the Chicago Cubs. Wow. I mean, other fact just for our baseball fans out there, the Rockies are coming from the Cactus League to the Grapefruit League at the end of their season as well. So I think this is
very cool.
It's a lot of crossover. I mean, the leagues are just blurring. Maybe next year we'll be going to Arizona every week. Who knows?
A whole new form of interleague play.
Yeah,
in a way.
I mean, next thing you know, we'll have a universal spring training.
Hey, we wouldn't mind that at all, as long as they had skillet cookies.
Yeah.
So we got two games left. We've got baseball stories that's coming out here soon. We had some very special guests for that.
We did. We had Eddie Perez led off our baseball stories series this year, and then we had Snit last time. And you never know who's going to pop up in the LeagueCom Legends Club or when they might pop up. Every game, it seems like we have some new people showing up there, and it just happens.
Coach Perez was Greg Maddux's personal catcher, so when you get to hear those stories, it'll give you chills. It's pretty cool to hear.
Yeah, so we'll go ahead and give you a chance to listen to those baseball stories up next here on the Braves Beach House Podcast.
This is part of our segment we call Baseball Stories. It's unannounced. It's not promoted until the day of. So your lucky day is you get Eduardo Perez. Eddie Perez, 1999 NLCS MVP. Personal catcher for Greg Maddux. Currently the bullpen coach and the assistant bench coach for the Atlanta Braves. Eddie, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we'll start off, if you could give us a little highlight, maybe your most memorable event in the major leagues with the Atlanta Braves.
Well, it's been many, but I think the one that's always get in my head is winning the World Series in 95 and in 21. And I was lucky enough to be in both. I think I'm the only one in both World Series. I was very young in the first one, and I was very old in the last one. So hopefully I can win another one, and hopefully soon. But for me, it's one of the best moments in my career, winning the World Series. I think being the MVP in 99 was another one. But winning a World Series is the best thing for baseball players. And I'm glad I was in both that the Braves won.
You're a catcher, so you dealt with a pretty good staff in the 90s.
Yeah.
A couple Cy Young Award winners.
A couple
300. Win pitchers. You were Greg Maddux's exclusive catcher. And I know Bobby Cox has talked about this a lot. When you have the affordability of two quality catchers, you can give a catcher a break and give him a day off because of grind and everything. But tell us how you escalated into Greg Maddux's personal catcher and how you took that schedule.
Well, I just want to clear that it wasn't my idea or Maddux's idea. It was Bobby Cox's idea. And I think it worked great because I knew when I was going to play, and Javi Lopez knew when he's going to have his off day. Maddux liked to communicate a lot, and when I didn't play, when I didn't catch him, we would sit in the dugout and talk about the game, talk about how we're going to do the next game. But it came out well. It came out perfect. I think after that, a lot of teams did it. I wish I can play more games, but I was happy for what I do because we were winning in the 90s. We win a lot of games, and it was fun, and it was fun. So I didn't care what kind of roles I was taking, but all I want to do is win. And catching Maddux was one of the things that I love. And people keep asking me questions why Javi never catch him, but it was no problem with Javi. It was just off day for Javi and day for me to play. But I didn't catch him only. I catch everybody. But Javi, when he need an off day, that's when I catch Maddux.
There's a couple documentaries going around about the team of the 90s, and part of the story is you and Greg Maddux and how you communicated. Can you tell the fans how Greg Maddux would call for another pitch with his...
Yeah. He don't want me to tell anybody, but that's a long time ago now, so I don't care. But he gave me, the first 2 months that I caught him, he gave me the sign for the next pitch. So this one was a cutter. When he spun his arm like that was fastball away, fastball inside, changeup, and curveball, which is he didn't throw much curveball, he would go like this. And then boom, and go like this. So I knew that was curveball. Nobody picked it up for 2 months. And then finally I told him one day, I said, let me call it now. Let me do it. Don't give me sign. Maybe somebody pick it up one day. And he go, okay, go ahead. So I called my own game and it shook me out two times. He only said it twice. He said, no, I don't like that one. And then it was only twice. So after the game, I was excited. That's nothing. I said, well, I said, Greg, you know, I did good. He go, no, two is too much. Let me call it next day. So it was, nobody picked it up. Even catchers from other team was looking at me. They thought I was the one who was giving signs. They thought he was cheating too. They thought he was using illegal stuff. And he likes that. He likes people to think that way. So he wanted me to put my finger everywhere. So I was going like this. So I was going like that, so people think, or players think that I was doing, we were cheating. So, yeah, it was special. It was special. He was one of the smartest guys that ever played this game. So he was very smart.
Tell us a story about, I think it was Biggio, that we knew we were going to see again.
That was Bagwell.
Bagwell.
Jeff Bagwell. We faced him one time, and he told me not to throw anything. Any pitch has got to be outside. Everything outside. So all of a sudden, we were winning 8-0. And he wanted to throw inside. And I was like, why he wants to throw inside? We know that he's going to kill that pitch. And he did. He hit a foul ball, like 2 miles foul ball. And I say, what is he doing? I want the shutout. I want the other team not to score. And the next pitch, he wants to go inside again. And I said, what is he doing? So here we go. He hit a homer. We won the game 8-2. And after the game, I say, why you want to change our goal, this is what we want to do, and now you want to change? He goes, two months from now, we're going to be in the playoff, and he's going to look for that pitch, and we're going to strike him out in three pitches. And I was, come on, man, we're not even in the playoff yet. So here you go. 2 months later, we went home. Bagwell came to here with two outs in the eighth, bases loaded, and we threw three straight changeups outside. We struck him out. And I already forgot what happened 2 months ago. So walking back to the dugout, he goes, hey! I said, yeah. Remember 2 months ago, he was waiting for that pitch. And I was like, this guy. And it's a true story. And I told him that documentary that we have. And I told the story, and nobody believed it. And he said it. I said, yeah, I remember that. He was just special. He was very smart. He pulled the ball where he wanted it to, which is hard to see now because everybody throws hard now. Nobody's working with you know, location. Now everybody wants to throw 99, 100, and it's killing those guys' arm, but, you know, they get paid a lot of money, so I don't care.
Thank you all for being here.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Enjoy the game. Thank you. Hello, everybody. Happy St. Patty's Day. Yeah. Welcome to Baseball Stories, the pop-up seminar of surprise guests. So today you got the best, Brian Snitker.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks for being here.
So the way this works is we'll just talk some baseball stories, and we'll open it up to a couple questions and answers. But we are on a strict time limit, so we got to talk quick or think quick. But
easy,
I'll start
question.
Off. 49 years with the Atlanta Braves, 49 years. Tell us how you got started.
All right, well, I got started. I signed in 1977. Bob Didier, who's a former major league catcher for the Atlanta Braves, was scouting at the time, and I was at the University of New Orleans. I'd been drafted the year before by the Cubs, and I screwed up my thumb. I got in a wreck at home plate, tore a ligament in my thumb, so the Cubs drafted me, and I declined just because I just got out of a cast, and I said, they don't know me from Adam, and if I go there and I don't do good, they're going to kick me to the street, or the curb. So I didn't sign, and then the next year, Bob Didier was from Louisiana. He was scouting. I did a tryout with the Braves, and he was managing the rookie league team in Kingsport, Tennessee, and I got my first professional taste in Kingsport, Tennessee. I played long enough to figure out I couldn't play, And I was very blessed and fortunate that Hank Aaron was the farm director and offered me a coaching job. And I've been doing it ever since, every summer. I've been playing baseball every summer since I was 7 years old. I'll be 70 in October. So, you know, it's just like been something that's been in my blood for, you know, ever since I was a little kid. And I remember my first travel team uniform. I don't think the pants and the shirt matched. And I see these kids now with all the, you know, they got headbands and base running mitts and, you know, all the colored cleats and the bats and things like that. You know, we was back in wooden bat days, and if we broke a bat, we'd get carpet tacks and you know, nail it back together and keep using it. So, I've been very blessed in my career. I've had some unbelievable times. I said I've been fortunate and blessed to have been raised by Hall of Famers. Hank Aaron, Bobby Cox, John Schuerholz, you know, some other guys that were Hall of Famers in my mind, guys like Jim Beauchamp and Bobby Dews, Bruce Del Canton, who were long, long time coaches and mentors of mine. I had another one that I don't even know if anybody in this room remembers, a guy named Luke Appling, who was a Hall of Fame shortstop with the Chicago White Sox. Luke had kind of took a shine to me and was a big part in me kind of learning how to do it as a professional and as a young manager and coach. And been fortunate enough to have been a part of helping develop Hall of Famers like John Smoltz, Tom Glavine, Chipper Jones. Saw all those guys. John Smoltz, I think I've said him, and you know, from like 18 years old, I knew all those guys. I said I'm a Brave and will always be. I've been blessed to be with an organization that family was so important. Or continuity has always been very important, and that's kind of why I'm sitting here talking to y'all today.
Well, that's a perfect lead-in. The Braves way is a very unique way of the culture of the Braves, and I've been fortunate enough to work with Brian for, 30 years now in different capacities, but there's something about the Braves and the culture that's called the Braves way. Can you touch on that?
Yeah. You know what? And it's all about doing it right. And I tell our players every spring, I said, you know what? When we go to the field, we're not like everybody else, number one. We're different in the way we do things, how we present ourselves. You know, you'll look at batting practice and you'll see guys, you know, everybody has something different on. And I make our guys wear these jerseys. You know, they can't put their sunglasses, they can't cover up that A. You know, I'm pretty proud of that A. And I tell them, out of respect for those Hall of Famers that are responsible for all those flags that are flying in our stadium in Atlanta, and you know what, well, as long as I'm here, that's the way we're going to do it, and that's part of being a Brave, and that's part of our culture. I think Alex does a great job in identifying players and their makeup, and we have such a strong, I think, culture, and our makeup is so good in that clubhouse. At the trade deadline, we might be able to trade for a guy that's a little rough around the edges, because that room is so strong, and people, you know, and when guys play us, I've talked to a number of players when I was a third base coach, and now that I've been a manager, they want to play. They want to be a part of this because they see how hard our guys play, what they're about. And when they come there, you know, I said, and you all too, you know, I talk about Braves country, and Braves Cats a real thing, our fan base. And I had no idea, quite honestly, the responsibility that I inherited when I got this job. It'll be 10 years ago now, which is blows me away. But you know what? It is. It's about the fans and how you represent and how great our fans are. And it's evident. And when, you know, they come and it's a school day in April and that ballpark is packed. And our guys, you know, you have no idea what that does to the psyche of a player, the energy that it provides. And all of a sudden, and these guys love to play. I've said this many times too. I remember in 18, we hadn't won a division in a long time. And we're going down in September. And I know Bobby and I used to talk about this when I was a third base coach, which is that's a great time of year when all you want to do is wake up, get a cup of coffee, and go to the ballpark because you got a game to play. And our guys, somebody asked me, I said, is this pennant stretch and the pennant race going to affect these guys? And I said, when I look down that dugout, I feel like I'm managing American Legion team because these guys are just, they're having fun playing baseball. Somebody asked me one time, we were in 2019, I was picked to be on the coaching staff for the National League All-Star team. Somebody asked me, Ronald was in the home run contest, Ronald Acuna, and they said, do you think Ronald's overwhelmed by this? And I said, are you kidding me? I said, between those white lines is where that kid is most relaxed and loves to be. It didn't faze him one bit. And these guys, and they show it when they play and how they come to play every, and they play every day, which is not like a lot of other teams. I mean, Matt Olson's on some ridiculous games played, and I can't get him to take a day. You know, and I said, well, you only got to go out about, you know, 10 feet or whatever to where you're working, you know, every day. So, but, you know, it's a testament to him and Austin Riley and Ozzie Albies and all those guys that have come up through here. And I remember, you know, Chipper telling me and those guys. I remember Andrew never even – he didn't come out of the blowouts when he played. I mean, he played every inning of every game. And because you know what? It's really hard to win a major league game. It's really easy to lose one, but it's really hard to win one. And if you don't have your best players out there, that even makes it even more tough. So I think that's the culture when it's, you know, they're proud of the name on the front, just as much of the name on the front as they are the name on the back. And it's a unique thing because not everybody can boast of that like we can.
Today's starting pitcher, probably a few comments on.
Yeah, no, I'm more excited than y'all are. You know, when I found out that, you know, that
Strider's starting, if you don't
Spencer
know today.
Strider is gonna, yeah, no, it's gonna be cool. And I know Spencer is excited. He's put a lot into this rehab time that he's made, because if there's one guy that loves to compete, there none of them do it any more than Strider. And I knew when he went down too that this kid is so dedicated to his craft and how, you know, he's going to do everything right in preparing to get back to this day. And today's the first step. You know, we still got a ways to go, but today's the first step. I'm excited for him. I'm really excited for me, because I get to go out there and watch him pitch. And I tell people, I said, at some point in time, early in this year, we're going to make two really good trades. I mean, we're going to get Spencer back, and we're going to get Ronald back. And you know, that's going to mean a lot to our club.
Very good. Questions. Who's got some questions? Yes.
Be ready to opening day.
Well, no, he's not going to be ready opening day, Josh. You know, I wish he was, but, And Ronald is doing everything. The biggest thing with Ronald right now is, you know, because it's his legs, is a starting, stopping, cutting, things like that. He's hitting lives on the backfield. He's getting a lot of at-bats. He's out there with his teammates every day, and he's excited. He's bouncing around. He's got a great attitude on what he went through, too, because that's tough when a kid misses a whole year, and then all of a sudden it happens, you know, the same thing on the other knee happens to him again, man. That's a hard go, but he's had a great attitude through the whole thing, and I know he's going to be raring to go when we get him back out there.
Give a round of applause to the leader of the Atlanta Braves, Brian Snitker.
Thank you. I appreciate y'all being here. Go Braves.
All right, Cool Today Park, we're hanging out with our boys and girl, Dukes of Brinkley. That's right, Tiki Bar performance today following our St. Patrick's Day Red Sox extravaganza. Nice to see you, Kenny, again here today.
Yeah, man.
Tell me, how long have you been a Braves fan?
I have been a Braves fan since I was that tall.
So not that long ago.
Oh, exactly. That was pretty damn close. These guys are awesome out here.
Yeah, we love having you guys here at the Tiki Bar. Huge crowd out here for you today. Can you tell us maybe what we're going to get a little snippet of, a little sample? I know you guys play those great rock and roll classics, so what are you feeling today?
Journey, Styx, Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Bon Jovi.
Maybe a little U2, since it's St. Patrick's Day. Might have to have a little Bono in the mix, right? There we go. Any new gigs or anything you want to shout out coming up here for the Dukes of Brinkley?
We've got a bunch coming up. We're doing 12, 15 shows every month. Yeah. So check out our website, dukesofbrinkley.com, ultimateanthem.com.
And say it with me, one time here, Dukes of Brinkley, right before our game, go Braves!
Well, that was a great time hearing from Eddie and Snit. A lot of great stories there.
Absolutely. And we're looking forward to beating the Phillies on Thursday for a sold-out game at Cool Today Park. And then we're going to finish strong against the Baltimore Orioles and our world record-setting beach ball toss.
Can't wait for it. It's going to be a great one. Spring training's wrapping up. Make sure you get here before the team heads out west for the Arizona trip and then get the regular season started. We'll see you next week on the Braves Beach House podcast with a lot of fun in store.
Say it with me.
Go Braves! Braves.